3. And while you're turning over there, thanks to the ladies for the meal tonight and for all the hard labor and for all that you're going to do this week. It's always a great time and always good food. And I asked before the service what the order of service was, and when I found out Brother Troy was first, I knew I could eat just a little bit more. So that's what I did, just a little bit more. But we appreciate all the amenities, the opportunity to stay at Hotel Reynolds, and it's always been a pleasure there, and I've been with the Hotel Alls too, but we've been at a few hotels up here, and I appreciate everything that you've done and will do. I appreciate the message, Brother Troy, and he's given you plenty to eat on, and so maybe this will be a dessert, I don't know, but it's going to be a little bit different. And I was thinking, when you have a service like this and you have different times, you have different speakers, and we don't know what we're saying to each other. You know, he's going to preach what God lays on his heart. I'm going to preach what God lays on my heart. And sometimes what you have to do is you just have to trust that leadership and say, God's doing a mosaic. And when it's all said and done, you'll have a picture that he wants to be made. So I'm confident if I preach what God's laid on my heart, then I'll do my part and he'll do his part and you'll be blessed by it. And so that's the idea. And may God's will be done. So I'm going to speak to you topically tonight. And I have some references for you, and we'll give them to you. And I would like to talk to you about two men who are documented in the Bible. God brought this comparison to my mind, and I thought the analysis of these two individuals were very interesting. And so it is my intention to trace their paths from the beginning of their Christian profession to the time of Jesus' death. I would like you to take notice of the great similarities between them. And I would especially like for you to notice the core difference which separates them. And perhaps we shall glean some precious truths along the way. So I want to speak to you tonight. I want to begin in Matthew chapter 3. I want to give you a tale of two men. That's my desire. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for keeping us safe as we've come here today. And we pray that you bless the remainder of the meeting. Thank you for what we've heard so far and the opportunity to sing songs to you and to, Lord, offer our prayers before you and pour out our hearts. And, Lord, we do think of that one who's having the bone marrow transplant, Dave, that you would bless him. And especially, Father, not only heal his body, but we pray that you'd heal his heart. And we ask that he might be saved. And, Lord, we pray for those that are bereaved. We know there are several, and we ask that you'd be pleased to comfort. And we come together at this time to honor you, to worship you in spirit and in truth. And I pray that everything that's said and done will be for your glory. I pray for your leadership and direction, and bless your word as it goes forth. We ask you to save the lost and strengthen the saved as only you can. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Talking about a tale of two men tonight, and these two men that I would like to compare and to contrast are Judas Iscariot and Simon Peter. Have you ever put those two together before you? Well, these both were Jewish men who experienced the same societal issues, same pressures of society, and the same kinds of problems. They lived in the same community, and they no doubt both had attended synagogue worship. Now, I believe that, and hopefully we'll give you some reason why that will be the case. And they both had an interest in spiritual things to some degree. If that wasn't the case, then what we have unfolding for us in the Scripture would not have unfolded the way it did. And so we have Peter and we have Judas, and so we want to look at these. The first thing I want to submit to you is that both were apostles. Amen. Thus, they were followers of Jesus. So I'm going to begin at the beginning. Now you say, no, wait, are followers of John, I'm sorry. How do I know that they were followers of John? You stay in Matthew, but in the book of Acts and in chapter 1, when they are voting to replace, when Judas sins and falls, and they will replace the apostleship. What did they say? Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John. Now, of course, there was a requirement for those who have raised from the dead, that they saw Jesus raised from the dead, but this is after the fact that he was risen. Before that, he couldn't have raised from the dead because he was still walking among them. And so when I submit unto you that Judas and Peter were both apostles, They both began at the baptism of John. They both were followers of John. And so that's why we pick it up in Matthew chapter 3, because they're going to share the same community, they share the same general area, the same governments, all the issues and problems that life brings. They're very common with each other. But they both ended up being followers of John. Now, here in Matthew chapter 3, what did John preach? Verse 1 and verse 2, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." But in Mark chapter 1, it's recorded for us that John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And so John preached what? Repentance. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. You must repent. You must believe. And you know what? These guys heard this. There was good, faithful attendance to those synagogues back in those days. I mean, it was kind of like in the early days of our country when people just went to church all the time. The Jews went to the synagogue worship on a regular basis. That's what they did. And I'm absolutely convinced that if you would have gone to the synagogue before John ever showed up, you'd have seen Judas in there. Judas had an interest, because when John did come preaching and he was preaching the baptism of repentance, who was there to hear? Judas heard. Peter heard. Andrew heard. So many heard the message, didn't they? And so there was a response to that. So Judas heard John the Baptist preach about repentance. Peter heard about the baptism of repentance. And what was, of course, John's purpose? Verse 3 tells us that he was to prepare the way for Jesus. And so it says, "For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." We know that John came to prepare a people for Jesus Christ. And as John preached, many responded. And so we find that in verse 5 down through verse 8. Now of these responses, we're going to see some of those, not all of them, but a great many of them follow after Jesus. So in verse 5, "Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." And so the people would come out by the droves, and they were hearing John preach, and they were moved by that, and they were convicted by that, and they were making profession. Then they were following him, the baptism that John was preaching and teaching to them. Now, verse 7, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance." What do we find? Well, others showed up. Religious crowd of the day. And John's very clear. You know what? We're not talking about some just willy-nilly raise a hand kind of a deal. You have to repent. There must be a change and a difference in your heart and in your life. Peter heard that. Judas heard that. They all heard the message of genuine repentance and genuine faith, and that they needed then to demonstrate that by water baptism. But what was John's purpose? John's purpose was to point people to Jesus. He was preparing a way. So there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 and verse 12, "I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Did these people hear that? Absolutely. Did Peter hear that? Yes. Did Judas hear that? Yes. They heard the message of repentance and faith and the one who was to come after. They heard that message time and time and time again. It was John's purpose to point the people who were coming to him toward Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, then over to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1, another related verse to this. We find in verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith," what's John preach? "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now notice on the next day after that, verse 35, "And again the next day after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. So what do we have? I bring you two men, Judas Iscariot, Simon Peter, very common background, similar in all their life experiences, don't know about their ages, I would assume that they're about the same age, that's just a guess, but we see that, hey, they're interested in John's ministry. Now why would they do that if they weren't interested in religious things and spiritual things? They've been going to the synagogues and they've heard the preaching. As a matter of fact, you'll see in just a moment about Peter's understanding and what Andrew talks to him about. They've already been thinking about this. And so now, when John shows up, their attention is given toward him. And so then they go out and listen to John. And so as John preaches, they believe what he's saying. They respond. So there's no doubt in my mind that Judas was baptized by John. How do I know that? That was a requirement of apostleship. And you'll know that Judas was an apostle. Peter was an apostle. So both of these guys have been baptized by John the Baptist. Amen. And so I know from the beginning that they were both followers of John. Number two, both turned and followed Jesus. I believe that. How do I know that? Well, I can only share with you the account of Peter because that's what we have in the Scripture. And it's there in John chapter 1. But by the very essence of the points that will follow, knowing of who Judas is and what he accomplished and that he indeed followed Jesus, he had to turn from John. He didn't remain a disciple of John. He turned and followed Jesus. Now, we don't have proof of that as far as a scriptural text, but we certainly have it from common sense and reading the Scripture. Now we have it with Peter, as it is written in John chapter 1. Look at verse 40. Now we read just a moment ago that two of them heard John preach and they said, here's the Lamb of God. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. The family was on board with this. It was common. And so what did he do? He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, We found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. Now, I want you to note their belief in the Messiah before Jesus ever showed up on the scene. They were thinking about it. They were talking about it. By the way, that generation, they all were looking for a Messiah. They hated the Roman rule. They wanted some deliverance. They wanted freedom. All the ladies wanted to be the one to bear the Messiah. All the men were looking for the Messiah to come. They wanted liberty. How'd they know all that? Because of the synagogue worship. Because of the teachings and all the things that they learned through synagogue. Now John comes. Here's this message. They believe. They repent. And they're baptized. Then he's speaking about this one who comes after. That's part of John's message. And so Jesus comes on the scene and says, there he is. And so when Andrew comes to Peter and he says, hey, we found the Messiah. Man, Peter's right on board with that. Yeah, that's what I've been looking for all along. And so there is a response by them. And they believe. And so what I have recorded for us is Peter's response. So what do we know? We know that Peter became a follower of Jesus and was his disciple. No question about it. When Andrew says, we found the Messiah, what did Peter do? He went to Jesus. Went to Jesus. And verse 42 tells us, now when Jesus beheld him, he said, Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. He left John. He follows Jesus. Turn, if you would, back to the book of Luke, chapter 5. That being the case, then, that both of these men have, if you will, grown up in the synagogue, responded to John's message, and then responded to Jesus. Peter was a disciple and of Jesus, and I believe that Judas was a disciple of Jesus. It had to have been true of him. How do I know that? Well, look at first of all, Luke chapter 5, verse 33. And they said unto him, Why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers, likewise the disciples of the Pharisees, but thine eat and drink? And what there is here is comparison between disciples. And so you have John's disciples who are doing one thing, and you have the Pharisees doing another thing, and you have Jesus' disciples doing another thing. So you have these groups, and they all have disciples. At one time, Judas and Peter were John's disciples. They left John. They went to Peter. Now they're to Jesus. And so they became Jesus' disciples. Luke chapter 6. Just turn a page for a moment. Look over there and notice the very first part of that verse. We're going to read the verse in entirety in just a second. But the first part of verse 13 says, "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples." Talking about Jesus, he went up in the mountain to pray all night. When it was day, he called his disciples together. Who was in that group? We don't know how many disciples were there. There was a bunch. More than 12. Because he chooses 12 out of them. So there's a great big group of people who are following after Jesus Christ. That's the group that John prepared for Jesus. And they left John and they went to Jesus. And so now they're following after Jesus. They're no longer John's disciples. They're Jesus' disciples. So if they don't want to fast, they don't have to because the bridegroom's still with them. You kind of get the idea, don't you? The change there is a difference. So, I submit to you, when I look at the tale of these two men, that both followers of John, and that both turned and followed after Jesus. Number three, right there in the text, Luke chapter 6, just a simple reading of the passage. I've already mentioned in the first point that, well, they were both apostles. Here it is, Luke chapter 6, verse 13. "And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles, Simon, whom he also named Peter," there's one of them, "and Andrew his brother, and James, and John, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, and Thomas, and James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor." Well, these guys are following the same kind of path, aren't they? Now all of a sudden they're apostles. One of the 12. And so you got Peter and you have Judas together. See these two guys, how many similarities there are between them? Let me give you one more. And then I'll give you a similarity or a contrast, if you will. Both, I believe this with all my heart, both, as apostles, followed Jesus. We're not talking about some guys here that says, "Well, I know I'm an apostle, but I'm going to check out of this. And I'll just send my dues in once a month," or something like that. That's not that at all. I mean, these guys were chosen of Jesus Christ. And you know what that tells me? That both of these guys, and I know there were 12, but we're talking about Judas and we're talking about Peter. Both of these guys, they walked with Jesus. They followed him all around, where from city to city to city, they followed after Jesus Christ. They talked with Jesus. They sat and heard him teach. They heard him preach. They learned of him. They spent 3.5 years with this man. They followed after him. I just think it's clear that that's what they did. It's not that we cannot justly say, "Well, Peter was the one that stuck with Jesus and Judas was always back behind and he was never around." I don't believe that for a second. All the 12 were there. And that means that Peter and Judas were both there. They were both personally instructed by him. There's no doubt in my mind that he sat down with each of them on an individual basis and taught them and trained them, and as a group, taught them and trained them. That's what Jesus was doing. He was teaching His disciples, those who were His followers, and He named these as apostles, and they were specially with Him. So He spent a lot of time with these guys. And that's Peter and Judas there together. Now if you go over to Luke chapter 9, we know that as apostles, simply as apostles, they both were sent to minister. Kind of blows you away sometime when you really know about the story of Judas. You go, "Oh, I can't believe that." But Luke chapter 9, verse 1. "Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Both were sent to minister. Judas Iscariot had just as much authority to cast out demons as Peter or Andrew or John. We fail to keep that in mind. Judas could heal the sick. Judas could restore sight to the blind. How do we know this? Because he called his 12 together and he gave them the authority to do that. And he said, you guys can go out and you can preach and you can teach and you can do all these things, cure diseases, but especially I want you to preach the kingdom of God. And so these 12 guys, as they departed out as itinerant preachers, Judas was there. And Peter was there. And both of them, as well as the other 10, are doing exactly what God wanted. I don't think that anybody could look back and look at Judas and go, you know, he's just really an odd duck. I don't think that they would come to that conclusion. Even on the night when Jesus told them, when he was betrayed, he said, when are you going to betray me? They had no idea who it was. Is it me? Is it me? Is it me? If Judas would have stuck out like a sore thumb, they would have said, yeah, that's Judas, man. We've always had questions about him. But that wasn't the case. Judas walked the walk, and he talked the talk, and he dressed the dress, and you know what? He behaved just like every other apostle. And nobody knew anything different about him. They both ministered. Here's Judas and Peter, ministering together the gospel of God, preaching repentance and faith, and curing diseases and healing those that are sick and on. Well, turn back to Mark chapter 6. You say, well, that's kind of a stretch because he just sent them out, and how do you know they really did that? Well, common sense tells us that they did that. But Mark chapter 6, verse 12. It says, and they went out and preached that men should repent. That's what they did. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Do you see any exclusions? They all did it except for Judas. You don't find that. Do you know why? Because they were all sent out, all 12 of them. Peter and Judas, they're both apostles. They went out, they did the work, they came back. And nobody knew anything different about them. So they had this ministry with Jesus Christ. They walked and talked with Him. At the end of 3.5 years of ministry, Jesus' time had come to an end. Time for Him to die. Now here's where we find a tragic similarity, yet a marked difference between these two guys. And so what do we know? I judge you can guess my last point. As we cover this tale of two men, they both, and we have to remember this, they both betrayed Jesus Christ and denied Him. We've got to understand the truth. They both did that. Let's look at Judas first. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26. Notice the action of Judas. What did he do? We'll see a similarity, but there's a big difference between these guys. Here's the action, chapter 26. Look at verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And he from that time sought opportunity to betray him. Yeah, here's the good apostle Judas. After he got kind of shortchanged on the Mary's anointing and they wanted the money and all that kind of thing, he didn't like what was going on. He decided, I'm fed up with this. So he runs to the chief priest. He says, listen, I'm tired of this. I've been around this for a long time. This doesn't mean anything to me. What will you give me? And they covenanted with him. They said, you deliver him. Oh, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. And he says, that's a good deal. I'll take that. And so they made this pact between them. Look down in chapter 26, verse 47. Over the process of time, you have the upper room. They leave the upper room. They go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Verse 47. This is the action of Judas. While yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he, hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And with the greatest deception, an act of affection and love, he betrays his master to his enemies. Judas was a disciple. Had all the opportunities, all the privileges, but in the end, what did he finally do? He covenanted for 30 pieces of silver to betray him. When he had opportunity, he did that, took the crowd out there, and Jesus was arrested. And you know the rest of the story. We don't have time to cover all those things, but look into chapter 27. Jesus was arrested, had an illegal night trial, had a morning trial. He was sent to the Romans, and he was crucified, wasn't he? Oh, what do we read in Matthew 27 about the response of Judas? We've seen the action of Judas. He betrayed his master. What's his response now that all this has come about? Chapter 27, verse 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he had saw that he was condemned, that is, Jesus had been condemned to death, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I sinned in that I betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. That's Judas. He denied Jesus and he betrayed him. But what about Peter? Look across the page or so. Matthew chapter 26. What was Peter's actions? Verse 69. And now Peter sat without in the place, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that was there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And he again denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. What has Peter done? Peter has betrayed Jesus' confidence. And Peter has now denied Jesus. Amen. Not a lot of difference between Judas and Peter, is there? Not at this point. But look at verse 75. Look at the response of Peter. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, Behold, the cock crows, thou shalt deny me. Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. Amen. You know what I read over in the book of Acts, chapter 2, that he stood up with the 11 and began to speak. Amen. Big difference. Amen. Between Judas and Peter. In conclusion, but don't get too comfortable, I'm not quite done yet. Both betrayed and denied the Lord, didn't they? What was it that made the difference? And this is the essential element. You really have to get these points. Do you not read in the text that Judas knew that he had done wrong and felt guilt? He had. The Scripture says that he repented himself. The word means to change one's judgment on past points of conduct. It is to repent or to regret. The interlinear, which is a translation of the Greek into the English, the editors translated it and said, well, having regretted it. You know what? The guy was sorry that he betrayed Jesus Christ. He didn't want that old filthy money anymore. He went in and threw it down to them. He knew he was wrong, and he was guilty over that, and he knew that guilt. But he didn't know how to handle that guilt. And what was his choice to deal with that guilt? Well, we know that his escape was just by suicide. He went out and hung himself. Scripture says that like the rope broke and his bowels gushed out. Smacked down at the bottom of the canyon. Judas killed himself. But if you would, turn to John chapter 6. I'll not tarry much longer, but I do have a few lessons that I need to apply. John chapter 6. I want to remind you that Judas was never converted. I'm absolutely convinced this is true. John chapter 6, verse 70, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil." Diabolos. False accuser, slanderer. The word can be translated as a traitor. And that is Judas, isn't it? You know, in John chapter 12 and verse 6, you're welcome to turn over there if you wish, but in John chapter 12, verse 6, you know that the Bible tells us he was a treasurer? He was a treasurer of the church, but he was a thief. And so it says, "This he said, not because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and he had to beg and bear what was put therein." That's the kind of guy Judas really was. He said, "Wait a minute, nobody could tell." That's because he was tricky. He was slick. Kept it all under wraps. He was stealing the whole time. But the guy was a devil. He never was saved. He didn't believe under John's preaching. He didn't believe after he followed Jesus. And he certainly never was saved. That's why I think he went out and killed himself. Because he didn't know how to handle that. Didn't know how to respond. On the other hand, what did Peter do? And you might want to go back to Luke chapter 22. Peter, he also knew that he was wrong. And he was guilty. But we read in the text that he wept bitterly. And that word weep means to weep. It is to shed tears. It is exactly what it means. Bitterly means bitter or harsh. You know what the difference is between a little boo-hoo and weeping bitterly. And Peter was so upset when he betrayed Jesus Christ and denied His name. It broke his heart. But as I've asked you to turn to Luke chapter 22, do you remember Jesus' words of a betrayal to him, told him that he was going to do that, but what did he tell him? In Luke chapter 22, you look at verse 31, the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, and he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." That's the difference. And so, the truth of the matter is, and if you would, you're welcome to turn to Matthew chapter 16, and I'm finished with your text references, and I'll make a very brief summary, and I'll be finished. I believe that Peter was truly born again. I believe the man was saved. I believe I'll see him face to face one day, and not because he's at the gate. I want to see Peter because he was saved. And in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 15, he gives a declaration. He said unto them, Jesus said, "Whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." You say, well, all of them profess that. Yeah, I think Judas did too. I think he had a profession. Here's the difference, though, I believe. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." And so when God reveals it to the heart, then a person is genuinely born again. And Judas can make a profession all day long and say he's the Christ. We believe he's the Messiah. He preached him. But he was lost. Peter was truly born again. And that's the difference. There's so many similarities as we come through there. But when it came down to it in the end, there was a great difference between them. So let me give you five lessons. And I never did look and see what time it started, so. Number one, a person may be interested and pursue religion, but not have a relationship with Jesus. Now, I think you've ever heard that. That's a Judas, isn't he? Religious, not have a relationship. Number two, shared experiences do not guarantee a relationship. Just because you're a member of church, you've always gone to church, and you've always went with those people, and they went with you, and all that, you've seen it all your life, been with your family, on and on and on, doesn't mean that there's a relationship with Jesus Christ. Number three, those with a true relationship are not perfect and are still found to be sinners. But we are sinners saved by grace. Peter had a true relationship with Jesus Christ, but he wasn't perfect. I'm not perfect. Your pastor's not. Nobody here is perfect. But if we're genuinely saved, we're still genuinely saved by grace through faith. Number four, the core difference among men is whether or not they have a relationship with Jesus. That's the key. You touched on that about faith in Jesus Christ. Number five, to have a relationship with the Lord, you must be convicted by the Holy Spirit. You must be drawn to God, and you must recognize and accept the truth about yourself, about your sin, and about the fact that only Jesus alone can save you. You can't do it. And then you must repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and then you'll have eternal life.
Amen.
Joining a church won't do it. Baptism won't do it. Making some reformations in your church, getting in your life, or getting your ducks in a row, that's not going to save you.
Amen.
I venture to say that Judas was a much better Christian than a lot of people we see in our society. And the guy was lost.
Yep.
And that's because a lot of professions in our society just really aren't genuine, are they? So we find a tale of two men. They had similar backgrounds, shared experiences, and a common profession of Christianity. They both appeared to be what they said they were. They both even failed in a similar degree. Boy, they were so close, weren't they? Yet we know that the drastic difference between the two, and the difference was this, that Peter was a true believer in Jesus Christ. But Judas, he was never born again, ever. I'd ask you, which are you tonight? Which are you? Are you a true believer in Jesus Christ? Do you really know you have a relationship with Him? Or have you just got everybody tricked? You have everybody deceived. You're a Judas. Well, that's the core difference. It's what you've done with Jesus. And I pray that God would use that in your life and work in your heart and meet every need that you have. And if you're lost, that you might be saved. And if you're saved, you'd be confirmed in that salvation and you'll live for Jesus Christ all your days. Brother Reynolds, if you would, please.
Amen.